Fundación Cana brings you the following article. The Endocannabinoid System and Stress Response, Implication in Fatigue and Burning Out, by Dr. Tanya Bagar, microbiologist, International Institute for Cannabinoids, Ljubljana, Slovenia. The Endocannabinoid System, ECS. The more the endocannabinoid system is studied, the more we are fascinated with its vital function in health and disease. At the basis, the endocannabinoid system is a signaling system, enabling the cells of our body to communicate. Communication between cells, tissues, and systems is vital for all multicellular organisms, and the more complex and evolved the organisms are, the higher the importance of cellular communications. The basic setup needed for cellular communication or signaling is similar as in all communications. We need to know what message we want to send, a signaling molecule, and where we want to send it, whatever has the right receptors or antennas. Cells typically communicate using chemical signals. These are different types of molecules. Cannabinoids are just one of many, produced by a sending cell and released into the extracellular space. There, they can float, like messages in a bottle, over to neighboring cells or into circulation. Not all cells can hear a particular message. In order to detect a signal, a cell must have the right receptor for that signal. When a signaling molecule binds to its receptor, a shift takes place, triggering a change inside the cell. Signaling molecules are often called ligands, a general term for molecules that bind specifically to other molecules, such as receptors. A signaling molecule and receptor recognize each other based on a unique 3D molecular structure. In essence, a receptor will bind a molecule if its structure fits the receptor's binding site in a very similar way as a key fits its keyhole. If it's a match, the doors will open, and if not, nothing will happen. If a signaling molecule and a receptor are a match, a cascade of downstream reactions will take place, ultimately leading to a change in the cell, such as alteration in the expression of a gene, or even the induction of a new process, such as cell division, apoptosis, etc. Such communication not only enables the cells to respond to changes in the extracellular environment, adapt to these changes, and thrive, but also exchange signals between cells, tissues, organs, and the whole body. These basic principles of intracellular communication are important since they are also fundamental in understanding the endocannabinoid system. The role of the endocannabinoid system is very complex. It affects the majority of the systems in our bodies, and the cannabinoid receptors are expressed in different density on majority of cell types. So precisely describing what it does is not an easy task, as it regulates the vast majority of the estimated 37 trillion cells in our body. Research has shown that the endocannabinoid system functions as an SOS mechanism that is activated whenever our bodies are out of balance for whatever reason. So, for example, it is activated when we suffer from a physical injury, when we encounter pathologic microbes, and also when we feel emotional pain or are under stress. We now understand the ECS serves as a general protective mechanism, starting at the cellular level, proceeding to the tissues, organs, body, and our general well-being. The ECS is turned on when the cellular homeostasis is out of balance. It is like the first line of defense to go off, activating all other mechanisms needed to return to homeostasis as soon as possible. What is stress, and how much is too much? Life in today's modern society is giving many challenges to our endocannabinoid system, and this could lead to exhaustion of the supply of endocannabinoids and other systems. If we take a look at one ordinary day, getting up, getting ourselves and kids ready for work and school, all in a hurry, being in traffic, responsible and stressful jobs, challenging relationships, toxic environment, contaminated food, water, and air, it is obvious that in one ordinary day, our ECS is facing more challenges than it would in a month or longer some 100 years ago. If our endocannabinoid system is constantly challenged over a longer period of time, this vital SOS mechanism can start to dysfunction. It can dysfunction either by not producing endocannabinoids when we need them or producing endocannabinoids when we do not need them. This is usually one of the first steps in the development of chronic disease, the first domino to fall in a complex falling domino chain leading to symptoms and disease. The majority of experts agree that many, if not all, chronic medical conditions carry an element of stress in their development, and stress is actually considered to be the epidemic of the 21st century. This fight-flight response has always been a part of our physiology and has served humankind very well most of the time, in keeping us safe and enabling us to access energy when we need to fight or escape a dangerous situation. It also serves as a protective SOS mechanism in many aspects, similar to the ECS. When our mind perceives a situation as stressful, it communicates the stress to our pituitary gland, which then releases hormones to the adrenal glands, which in turn releases more hormones to communicate with other cells and organs within the body. The fight-or-flight response activates the sympathetic nervous system, inhibits the parasympathetic nervous system, and mobilizes the necessary energies to overcome these stressors. This is known as the HPA, hypothalamus-pituitary-adrenal axis. In case of perceived stress, the adrenal gland will produce cortisol, among other things, known as the stress hormone. Increased production of cortisol results in the increased availability of glucose, as it is an energy mobilization hormone in order to facilitate fighting or fleeing. But cortisol also suppresses the highly demanding metabolic process of the immune system, resulting in further availability of glucose. Our body also reacts with a fight-flight response to everyday situation, and this continuous or repetitive exposure to stress is not something our bodies cope well with. We see a staggering increase in chronic fatigue syndrome, insomnia, and burnout, to name only a few that have been connected with prolonged exposure to unresolved stress. Are we coping? In a healthy body, the stress response system is self-limiting, but often we do not notice the warning signals that we are under chronic stress. The signals may range from the tiredness you feel for a few days after recovering from an illness, to debilitating fatigue that interferes with life and doesn't go away with the rest, to recurring infections, headaches, and digestion issues. What does the ECS have to do with it? HPA-ECS crosstalk. The hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, HPA axis reached TPA axis, is in fact a very complex set of direct influences and feedback interactions among the three components: the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the adrenal glands. Even the adrenal glands themselves are more than just cortisol producers. They produce over 50 hormones: adrenaline, aldosterone, DHEA, testosterone, progesterone, and others. The ECS is very closely involved with our stress responses in many aspects, from the perception of a situation to biochemical reactions and all the way to regulation of our responses and behaviors in stressful situations. The ECS is in fact involved in the perception of stress, the production of neurotransmitters, the production of hormones of the HPA axis and production of cortisol, the functions of the feedback loops, and practically all aspects of stress responses. From what we understand so far, the ECS is a vital and integral part of perception of stress and, in a sense, an interference between stimulus input and responses at the synaptic and behavioral levels. The ECS helps us in defining the importance of the situation, determining how big of a threat it is, and to tune the right behavioral responses, which are essential for the organism's long-term viability, homeostasis, and stress resilience. When we look at the brain regions involved in stress processing, we see that these regions also have a high density of cannabinoid receptors. We know that in addition to the hypothalamus and pituitary gland, also the amygdala, prefrontal cortex, and hippocampus respond to stress and influence our reactions and behavior during stress. All these regions also have high density of cannabinoid receptors. So already anatomically, we see a good overlap of the two systems. Since the brain regions involved in stress processing are also well equipped with the machinery of the ECS, and we know that cannabinoids modulate synaptic transmission, It is evident that the neuronal reactions that follow exposure to stress can be modulated by adequate ECS reactions. At the neuronal synapses, cannabinoids function as retrograde messengers, binding to presynaptic receptors, which in turn mediate the suppression of neurotransmitter release, leading to short-term or long-term reduction of synaptic transmission. In a way, this means the cannabinoids turn down the volume of the noise in our brain, reduce the amount of messages that travel from one neuron to the other. We all know from our own experience that when we have too much stress factors during the day and we are not coping well, we have this feeling of noise in our brain that we often cannot turn down when it's time to rest in the evening. Many elements of the ECS are involved in stress responses, from the receptors to endocannabinoids to their precursors and involved enzymes. So we can look at the ECS as a modulator between the outside and the inside world. It acts via many different mechanisms, resulting in either enhancement or suppression of the neurons in the brain regions involving anxiety, fear, and stress. Essentially, ECS functions as a brake mechanism used to fine-tune our reactions. The ECS is mostly silent and turns on the brake when there is too much activity. So how can this knowledge help us deal with stress? When we notice that our body is not coping with the challenges, it's time for action. Food. The first step is to feed the ECS and see if this will do the job. The food we choose to eat, the supplements we take, and the variety of meals and drinks consumed over time have an effect on the level of endocannabinoids and cannabinoid receptors that the human body can produce. The lifestyle choices can care and feed the ECS or disrupt it. We know that the omega-3 fatty acids are precursors for the production of endocannabinoids, so a steady supply of omega-3 is vital for a functioning ECS. When our bodies need to produce endocannabinoids and do not have the necessary building blocks, regardless of how much stimuli there is, our cells cannot produce endocannabinoids. So in essence, the SOS system is turned off. As Aristotle said, health comes from the gut, and this is true also for the ECS. Our microbiome is in communication and interaction with the ECS, and signaling is happening in both directions. A healthy microbiome is critical for a well-functioning ECS in many ways. One is that many of the endocannabinoids are in fact produced in the gut. The other is the brain-gut connection, where many of the neuronal activities are affected by messenger molecules sent by the beneficial or non-beneficial microbes in our gut. So all in all, it is vital that we have a healthy, beneficial microbial population in our gut and elsewhere in our bodies for our ECS to function properly. Some foods, such as extra virgin olive oil, contain phenolic compounds and other bioactive compounds which may encourage enhanced expression of cannabinoid receptors. So diverse plant-based food is a good step in caring for the ECS. Phytocannabinoids. If making changes in food choices and lifestyle does not help adequately, it's time to consider supplementation with phytocannabinoids. Cannabidiol, or CBD, is the phytocannabinoid that has been best studied in stress prevention and management. Many research articles have studied the effect of CBD on anxiety, depression, stress, and other mood disorders. The common denominator of the studies is that CBD offers relief from these symptoms, employing many different mechanisms. To underline the data from research labs, research from users of CBD worldwide is showing very similar results. CBD can be used as a preventive measure as it functions as a guardian molecule. It shields the cells from the effects of stress. It regulates and fine-tunes the HPA axis, helping to maintain the proper functioning of our biochemistry, even in persistent or unpredicted stress situations. It was shown that CBD offers protection to the adrenal glands, thyroid, and the brain during periods of unpredicted stress, something we can all relate to. On the other hand, if we are already suffering from a wide range of symptoms related to stress, like fatigue, sleep disorders, immune issues, digestion problems, or other symptoms, CBD may also offer relief. CBD can, to some extent, do what our endocannabinoids should be doing. It regulates how much cortisol and neurotransmitters we produce and can provide us with the proper distance from a stressful situation. Using CBD as part of a recovery strategy from burnout and fatigue has proven very successful. It helps with neurogenesis in brain regions damaged from prolonged, unpredicted stress, offers cardiovascular protection and modulation of the entire HPA axis. The body can regenerate when we can control and turn down the volume of the surrounding world, rest, digest, and restore balance. And cannabinoids can aid significantly in this pursuit. In Dr. Meshulam's words, the plant's cannabinoids are a neglected pharmacological treasure trove and are proven to be very adequate also when addressing stress, the epidemic of the 21st century. This article was brought to you by Fundación Cana.